and especially the little ones. I want to speak this morning about ifs, buts, and it. Turn to Matthew chapter 13 in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" Matthew 13 talks about a small thing here in verse 31. It says this, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which men took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Small things can be very, very important. Benjamin Franklin said, "Watch your pennies, and the dollars will take care of themselves." A coach emphasizes the basics, the fundamentals of the sport that he is coaching. And they do that in their pre-season training, but then sometimes they have to do a reset when the team isn't doing so well. And we go back to the small things, those basics, those fundamentals. Had a friend out in Kansas, he used to say, "Were ifs and buts, candy and nuts, we would all have a very Merry Christmas." Small things making a very big, significant difference in things. Had a gym teacher when I was in elementary school that said, "If is a very small word with a very big meaning." So I want us to think this morning about some small things. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. Every single one. It's not just the thoughts, it's not the concepts. Every word is pure. There in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 19, many of the new versions of the Bible leave out the phrase, "the brother of." Well, you realize that it says that this guy killed the brother of Goliath the Hittite. When you take out that phrase, "the brother of," suddenly you've got a confusion about who killed Goliath. There in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire." Well, now, the new Bibles, again, take out "without a cause." And what they've done is made Jesus Christ a sinner by doing that. How many times have you heard somebody quote 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 incorrectly? Money is the root of all evil. No, the Bible says the love of money. Words are important. Even those small words are important. And so I want to call you to your attention to some small words this morning, buts, ifs, and an it in Scripture. First, but. A conjunction, it's used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Gary looked at this this morning in Sunday school. Romans 6, 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's what each and every one of us deserves. The eternal death, eternal punishment in hell. That's what we've earned. That's our wages. But you take this whole pile of sin that my life is represented by, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That whole thing is wiped away. Now I've got eternal life. Next Saturday is my spiritual birthday. I'll be 43 years old in the Lord. Older than that otherwise. 43 years. I never thought it'd be this long before the Lord returned. 43 years. Look back on that thing, and there's a whole lot more behind me than there is ahead of me. I had 23 years living lost, without Jesus Christ, and on my way to hell. But God. I mean, you think about my life, and as a teenager, I started drinking, started running around and doing all kinds of wicked things. The summer that I graduated from high school, just within a few weeks after graduating from high school, I was in jail. Third-degree burglary. Got 5 years probation. Went off to college that fall. Started smoking dope. Eventually started even selling some. And the next 5 years of my life were consumed with being drunk or stoned or both. And all the craziness that went along living a life like that. I used to say I'd never live to see 30 years old. Because I knew that the way I was living at that time, there was an end coming probably pretty soon. But God. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Well, I'm so grateful for that but. Were it not for that but, I'd still be on my way to hell if I was still alive. But God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Begin in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even a precious little child is in that condition. That's all of us, dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past he walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That spirit that Kathy's having to deal with at work with that Ouija board. Folks, that's not just a toy. We had one of those when I was a kid. My grandfather was very superstitious. He and my grandmother came here from Scotland in the 20s. And they, Grandpa, you're sitting at the table, you couldn't pass the salt to him. He said, put it on the table. If he inadvertently took it without thinking, he threw some over his left shoulder. And he gave us that Ouija board. And to us kids, I mean, it was just a toy, you know. We're just playing with this thing. But you know what? That thing told me who my fourth grade teacher was going to be in the beginning of August. I'd seen that thing answer some questions that we had asked us. That thing's real. That's spiritual. And he says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a warfare out there, folks. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace he is saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God took me from that horrible pit of sin that I was in, and raised me up to seat me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That wasn't me. That was God. But God. but for God, because of what he's done for me, I'd be on my way to hell today. But it doesn't stop there. As I said, there's more behind me than there is before. And I think of the song Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It says, grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. But God. Boy, some of the things I've been through in my life. 14 years old, got my arm tangled up in that power takeoff. It could have killed me. I think God had a purpose in not letting me die. Wrecks that I've been in, I did a barrel roll in a dump truck one day. Just all kinds of stuff, but God. Car fell on me, should have killed me. They landed on my head, so I guess that's what spared me. But God. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time, Joseph was made known unto his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then went Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. 75 people. Spared because God orchestrated it for Joseph to be in that place to provide for his family. And so much more going on in that thing, but God, through many dangers, toils and snares. I mean, think about your own life. How about those times when you know that there was no hope, there was no help, but God. And if the situation seemed just hopeless, and suddenly, but God turned it around, just like he did with Joseph, but God. The second word I want to look at this morning is if. If is also a conjunction, and this one introduces a condition or a stipulation. Now, these first ones kind of relate to the first, the but also to the it that we're going to cover in a moment as well. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus said, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That puts me in a place of being part of the condition. I am to lift up Jesus Christ, just like Moses lifted that serpent into the wilderness. He says, if you do this, the condition, the stipulation related to that. Go back to chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But you got to come. If he's lifted up, he'll draw you. And if you come, you'll receive. But the burden lies with us. I don't believe in Calvinism. I believe it's a heresy. I believe that we have a responsibility to respond, that we have a free will to choose whether we respond or not. Amen. And God says, if you lift up, I'll draw them, but if they come, they'll have their thirst quenched. You got to come. Look at chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. By him. Not by Buddha. Not by Allah. Not by any other God, but Jesus Christ and him alone. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. With the heart man believeth... verse 9. Let me start in the right verse here. All right. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It starts with the if thou shalt confess. I came to that place October the 27th, 1975. Walked down that altar in Tioga Center Baptist Church in Tioga Center, New York. A man took me downstairs, went through the scriptures with me, and I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I walked out of that church that morning alive. Changed. Different. If he be lifted up, if they come, if they confess. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. There again, see, the burden lies with the person hearing. Ah, go away. I don't want any. No, you got to hear his voice and open the door. Then he comes in. The responsibility lies with me. And then you go to Revelation 22. The end of the Bible, as he wraps this thing up, here's what he says. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. If. But there's some other ifs as well. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is, those who have heard and confessed with the mouth and believed in the heart, those who, when he was lifted up, they were drawn to him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Wait a minute. Something took place in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was changed. I lost about half of my vocabulary. I never smoked another cigarette. I never smoked another joint. I stopped getting drunk. No, wait a minute. No. God took those things from me. I was a new creature. I don't know how many times I tried to stop smoking before then. quitting was easy. It's staying quit was the problem. I was smoking a pack of half a cigarette, pack and a half a cigarette a day. Camels, non-filters. And God took it away, just like that. I can't stand cigarette smell now. New creature. See, if I'm in Christ, there's supposed to be a difference. There should be a change in my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath given to, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If you're in Christ, there should be a difference. There should be a change. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to deal with you just like he did with me. I know people that have struggled with marijuana and alcohol and cigarettes. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying what God did for me, he took that out of my life right away. I know people have struggled for years with some of those things. But you ought not to be satisfied with it. It's sin. You ought to hate it. Because it's defiling the temple. Which temple you are. The temple of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This was also a passage that came up in Sunday school this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. If the but has come into your life, but God, and you're in Christ now, verse 10 verse of 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So wait a minute, a foundation's laid. It says earlier that that foundation is Jesus Christ. That's my salvation. That's the but God. That's introduced it. I'm now in Christ. The foundation's laid. Now I've got a responsibility to build properly upon that foundation. This would address your question there a little bit, Darlene. It's the foundation is fixed in Jesus Christ. I've got eternal life. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. It's a gift. I've received it. It can't be taken away from me. It's eternal, not temporary. That's the foundation. But now as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one in Christ, I've got a responsibility to build properly upon that. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. What I'm building on that foundation is going to be revealed someday. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, or if it's wood, hay, stubble. Now go on further for the distinction there. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And that wood, hay, stubble, you set the match to that thing, and it's gone. Ashes. Now the gold, silver, precious stones, they're tried by fire. They're purified. But they survive the fire in a better state than what it was initially. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if it's to build the gold, silver, precious stones, God says, you got a reward coming. The foundation's not touched. That's established in Jesus Christ. But the life which I'm now living, you know, people dispute the idea of eternal security because, oh, that's a license to sin. No, it's not. Not if you understand the scriptures completely. Because there's still a consequence to my sin. If I'm building properly on the foundation, I'm going to have something to show for it. It's going to be revealed by fire. And it'll survive. And God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy kingdom. And for all of eternity, I'm going to be able to enjoy the rewards that I've earned by building properly upon the foundation. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The wood, hay, and stubble have reduced back to the foundation. Saved, yet so as by fire. No reward. Because I didn't build the right things upon the foundation. If any man build, what are you building? What do you got to show for the life that you've lived on this earth since you've been saved? Will you have anything to offer him when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? One more if I want to look at. And I'm certainly not exhausting either of these. But go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. Because I don't want to see you sin. I don't want to see you living in sin. I want to see you, my children, walking in the truth, he said later in 2 John. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My sins were forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ. As we again talked about that in Sunday school this morning. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, all of my sins were future. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, everything that I was going to commit had not been committed yet. It wasn't a breaking point at when I got saved and then what I lived after I was saved. And when I got saved, by receiving what he did for me on the cross, all of my sins were forgiven. He cleansed me. Not just the 23 years of sins that I had accumulated before I got saved, but the additional 43 years of sins that have accumulated since I got saved. They're all forgiven already. So that's gone. So now what's the issue? Well, it's what I'm building upon, the foundation. But he says, when we sin, it's the forgiveness is complete in salvation. That's taken care of. I don't need to seek forgiveness of my sins. I'm already forgiven. Still need to be cleansed. I still need to confess them. And he says, I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I've got an attorney on retainer. And old Satan comes along, the accuser of the brethren. He says, see that guy? He's one of yours. He's even a preacher. You see what he did? See what he said? See what he thought? You say, yeah, I did. But it's under the blood. It's already cleared. Amen. Now there's still a consequence. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But as far as my salvation, doesn't touch it. Because I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God till the day of redemption. Amen. And I've got that advocate who stands as, I paid for that already. He's clear. Amen. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But God, if And then we come to it, a pronoun, the subject. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul speaking here, writing to the Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul defined his gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, that's my gospel. That's the gospel that he preached throughout all of Asia Minor and even into Europe. He says, and I'm not ashamed of that. Go on here. For it, what's it? The gospel. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. The preaching of it is the power of God. Folks, I want you to grasp that thought. Because sometimes we get so hung up on things, and you know, I'm grateful for things like CEF and the teacher's training and different things that give some people some understanding about how to better communicate with people and how better to talk with them and show them about their need of Jesus Christ. But it's not my method that saves somebody. It's not my persuasive argument. It's not apologetics. It is the gospel that saves. That's the power of God through faith unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you realize? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Do you know the people that have just gotten saved have been used of God to reach others for Jesus Christ? Just like that. Without any training, without any classes on how to be an effective witness, they've just lifted up Jesus Christ and spoken the gospel to them. Because that is the power of God unto salvation. We need to get that in our minds, folks. Look, we see what God's been doing in this church in the last few years. It's not me. It's in spite of me. It's this and the God of this book. Folks have criticized me sometimes for using too much scripture when I preach. Criticize away, I ain't going to change. Because this is the authority. Not me. And you know, yeah, I know it's good for folks to laugh a little bit in church and enjoy it and at least, you know, get something out of the message. But if nothing else, if I've given you the Word of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So folks, don't get things out of order. What I'm supposed to do is preach the gospel. Put forth the Word of God. To allow that to do the changing in the people's lives. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now look what he says. Not with wisdom of words. And, you know, I appreciate the ministry of Ravi Zacharias and others like him. But folks, look, It's not the wisdom of words. That's what Paul said. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Yes, those are tools that we sometimes can use to help us to be effective. But don't forget where the power lies. Don't make that of none effect. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 23 years old, and I remember in high school, a couple of classmates got saved, and man, they just flooded the halls. They'd walk down through the lockers, you know, they got those vents in the lockers in the hall, and they'd stuff tracks in them. And you'd open your door, and these tracks would fall out, and you'd see them just, you know, because they covered every locker, and the hallway was filled with those tracks. And we used to mock him and ridicule him and the others that were with him for what they were doing. That was the first person that ever really witnessed to me. And I was a senior in high school when he got saved. And then I went to work, and this Christian I was working with, I mocked him and ridiculed him along with everybody else. But then God began to work in my heart. You see, that preaching the cross was foolishness to me. But then I began to see the difference in that man's life. The peace that he had in spite of the persecution that he suffered at work. And man, something's there. And it's something that the drugs and the alcohol aren't doing for me. And I began to pick up the tracks that people threw away and take them into the John and read them where nobody could see me. And God continued to work. You see, even as something as simple as putting out a track, you think that you watch somebody throw it away or throw it down on the ground, you think, oh, well, that's gone. Not necessarily. Because he never gave me a track. 2.5 years I worked with them. Never one time gave me a tract. But they got to me. In fact, I went and got them. But God. You see, we think it's us. It's not. I just need to be available to let God work through me. And a lot of times, we got no idea what God's doing. It's just a matter of me being faithful to do what God told me to do. Lift up Jesus Christ, that all men will be drawn to Him. To preach that gospel of Christ, which is the power of God, unto salvation. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 1. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. But God, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I'm not to brag about what I have done. I just need to brag on Him. Amen. But God, if in the it. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I know in some ways this message might seem kind of silly, but You chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God, I don't care what people think of me. I just want them to think well of You. And God, I just want to be used of you in some way, anyway, to be able to impact others' lives for Jesus Christ, whether to see them come to know you as Savior or to see them grow in their relationship with you. God, help me to realize it's not me. It's you being allowed to work through me. And God, speak to your people's hearts about this as well. Challenge them with these thoughts. I pray that each one has gotten something this morning to help to see the difference that you make. And you allow us to be a part of it. Thank you for that, God. If there's someone here this morning that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, speak to that one and help them to understand and know and be drawn to you this morning, God. And we thank and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.